Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast with blue light glasses. It's your boy Ethan, and Patrick's not here right now. This is an introduction to a shortened version of a podcast. I'm realizing that I look a little bit like the ugly girl in movies before they take off the glasses and they make her hot. And I would like to skip to that part of the film. But anyway, this is a Catholic podcast where we talk about faith and we have fun along the way. We like to think that more people should have conversations like this. We've been doing it for about 7.5 years, and I'd love it if you joined us. So today, it's a little bit different than normal. Usually on Wednesdays, we have a Dating Corner podcast where we answer dating questions that are submitted in our Discord from the listeners. Because Patrick and I were at the Young Catholic Professionals Conference this weekend, our recording schedule was a little bit messed up, but we did record a bonus podcast that is for our patrons in our hotel room while we were there this weekend. I'm going to put out, after this, the first 15 minutes of that episode. If you like the rest of it, you can join for $10 a month at patreon.com/thecrunch. We'd love to have you over there. We've got a great community of over 100 patrons that support us financially. If you like the kind of work that we do, if you think there should be more comedic conversations about Catholicism that are not just educational, patreon.com/thecrunch is the place to go to support us. So we'll give you a taste of the first 15 minutes here of that podcast. If you want to listen to the other 45 and all of the other 72 bonus podcasts that we have on Patreon, they're all about an hour long. So you get already multiple days worth of bonus content. If you just subscribe to patreon.com/thecrunch for $10 a month, sacrifice a couple coffees and help us keep doing what we love to do. And something that we really believe has a lot of value in today's day and age with the content in the Catholic space the way that it is. So without further ado, I'm going to let it get over to the other guys from the past, and we'll see you over there. All right, bye.
Yep, I'm recording. Okay, ready? No, I'm just going to clap.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't both clap. That's so true. Confusing.
That's true. All right, nice.
There we go.
That's a good clap.
Thanks.
I got to put this on.
Ethan's totally naked.
If you laugh too loud, it will harm the...
It'll wake our neighbors.
We just woke up. Where's the front of the thing? We just woke up. We slept together. I on a roll-away bed.
Ethan slept on a little bed they had to bring in on a trolley. Like... And the guy was
the spiciest Mexican I've ever seen in my life.
The guy didn't look like he could like take a joke.
Do you want me to put it here?
Yeah, he had a little. Oh boy, but he didn't sound like he could take a joke. He didn't look like he was like in a joking mood. But they rolled in the bed and it was standing up.
Like the wheels
like on a gurney.
Right, which makes sense because you got to put it in the elevator.
Yeah, obviously. Know? And I was like, the joke that I wanted to make but didn't. Oh, sorry. But the.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about the other people in the world.
Whatever. The hotel walls are paper thin, so they get free podcasts. So people usually have to pay $10 for that.
That's true. If you rent room 1014 at the Omni,
we just told them where we are.
They don't know where we are.
What if they SWAT us during the podcast?
Yeah, that's true.
Please don't do that. Please don't send SWAT to room 10, 12. I do scream during live podcasts. Thank you for reprimanding me.
Yeah, no problem.
I appreciate it. Right. But anyway, so the joke that I wanted to make. Thank you. Yeah. The joke that I wanted to make was, oh, this will not do. We need a horizontal bed. I didn't think he was gonna get it.
No, I don't think he would have gotten it either. But it was nice. He goes, "Do you want me to move these things out of the way for you?"
I was like, "No, it's
no, that's fine." I was laying in my bathrobe here on this couch. I had clothes on underneath it.
It did look like you were.
It did look like it could have turned into something else very quickly.
Oh, man.
But thankfully, I said, no, don't need any more help. Get out of here. And then he left. And then I slept there. I slept soundly.
You did? Me too.
Yeah.
That's good. I woke up very early. Could not go back to sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
I woke up before my alarm. And my alarm, like, didn't go off. The iPhone alarm is contingent on how high the volume is, which I think it should not be.
What do you mean the iPhone alarm is contingent on how loud it is?
Like, the volume button, the alarm follows the volume button. So, like...
You're saying it's as loud as you set it to be.
Yeah, I'm saying... But, like, usually, if you're at night, your volume is down because it's nighttime. You don't want, like, sounds coming out of your phone except for the alarm. Like, that's the sound you want to come out of your phone at 6 a.m.
I feel like there's a setting on the phone where you can set the alarm volume.
Quite possibly.
I woke up. I set my alarm for 6 a.m. Like you. I was not awake, but I did wake up at 5:57, and I checked my phone, and I said,
I got 3 more minutes.
No, I just turned off the alarm, and I went back to sleep.
Because
I was awake, and I heard you rumbling around, and so I didn't want to.
I was yelling.
And then you were yelling. But then you were getting ready. I heard you were making coffee.
Yeah.
Making coffee.
Yeah.
So early. And then I was at the scent of coffee wafting over my sweet nose.
I knew you were going to wake up.
And I had to wake up.
You do it.
Yeah. You tempted me. Like a little a succubus.
Please don't say succubus on the podcast. I don't need that. I don't need that. Yeah, man. But we're at the YCP conference, Young Catholic and Professional. I have made that joke.
Oh, it's awful.
I've made it multiple times. But the thing is, everybody I say it to is hearing it for the first time. Ethan is hearing it for the millionth time. And that is like a little joke for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like even better than the laugh.
I was here by myself yesterday.
Yeah.
And
it was glorious.
Well, it was nice. There was a certain sadness because not only was I without my family, who I miss deeply. Mm-hmm. But I was without my podcast boy.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of like alone at a thing.
Ooh, yeah, that's.
I mean, thankfully I knew a few people here, so it wasn't like totally brutal, but I was just like just networking and it was fine. Like I had no problems with it, but I was like, man, I was a little sad. And I was talking to someone because I've been hyping up the podcast, right? I've been talking to everybody. And someone said to me, so you seem like, because you know, like I'm a sociable guy.
Yeah.
So people assume that there's like a sociable guy and then like a less sociable guy.
Yeah.
So someone said to me like, oh, are you like the guy for the podcast? Like, is he just kind of like your, you know, sidekick?
And sidekick,
and I was like I took a second to respond because in my mind, Patrick is like way more extroverted than me.
That might be true.
When we're at things like this,
yeah,
you know,
the 500 emails. That's like a quantifiable Patrick might be more extroverted
correct.
Than Ethan.
I have no problem talking to people. I did it all day yesterday. But in terms of I said to him, I was like, I think he's more of the guy than you would expect him to be. I think we're both the guy. And that is probably the best description of our podcast ever.
Ethan's the guy and I'm even more the guy.
Two guys that are both the guy.
Yeah.
Catching foxes, there's only one guy.
Yeah.
Clerically speaking, there's only one guy.
Father Anthony.
What other podcasts out there?
It is funny because like it's the clerically speaking and catching foxes dynamic, I think is similar to ours where it's like
into the front of the mic.
Oh,
there you go.
Kill me.
you're good. See how much bigger.
I know. Well, I try to soften my volume. The clerically speaking, catching foxes and the crunch dynamic. It's like the guy who's a nerd and the guy who's not.
Who's cool.
Yeah. And it's funny because like on Catching Foxes, the guy who's the nerd is like the guy. On Clerically Speaking, the guy who's not the nerd is the guy. Mm-hmm. And in our podcast, we're both the guy. Yeah. Which is why we remain.
It's true because we're equally nerdy about different things, you know?
Ethan's nerdy about...
Yeah, what am I nerdy about?
Right-wing politics.
I don't know if I... Like, I have never read Schopenhauer.
I don't know who that is.
I don't either. You know, so I don't know.
Probably a Nazi or something.
I did pretend to have read De Tocqueville the other day because one of the booths had like stickers and like quotes from it. I was like, oh man, Democracy in America, what a book.
No one's read that book.
I know.
It's so big.
It is. It's a huge book, but I have it on my shelf, which makes me feel like I've read it.
That's fair. It does feel
people
like
point at it when they come over and they say, oh, have you read this? I go, nah, but I'd like to.
No.
And then they go, wow, he would like to.
It's like Marx's Capital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like people have only read, it's several volumes. People have really only read one and barely.
It's like Mein Kampf.
People have read it Everyone's read that.
I've not read Mein Kampf.
I mean, it was like third grade reading list.
I'm not as into right-wing literature as maybe I should be.
I have, in term, it's funny because Ethan is definitely more right-wing coded than I am.
Yeah.
But I have read.
We believe all the same stuff. I just talk about it differently. Which is funny.
I have a little more tact.
No.
Yeah. I do. Oh, I do.
Come on.
It's true.
That is not true.
But I, you know ORV Bells on Twitter. He was in a class with me and
Toivo.
And there's this author Carl Schmitt who's like a super he's an illiberal thinker that's very popular among right wing guys.
Like that MF from Jimmy Neutron.
Carl Weezer. Ooh,
and a liberal thinker.
Yeah, illiberal thinker, Carl.
Can I have a croissant?
Jimmy's mom!
Llamas demonstrate the buying power of the proletariat.
Oh, man. Anyway, Carl Schmitt was like a Nazi.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, like a super...
It'd be funny if Carl Weezer... Do you remember that picture? I'm going to pull up that picture of Carl Weezer when he looks like a Nazi. Hold on.
Okay.
Where's my phone? It's there. I need your phone.
Please don't. Please. I'm going to get flagged.
No.
I don't need flagged for this.
Google Carl Weezer Nazi. I'm going to Google something else.
All right. But Carl Schmitt, for those of you who are interested, his...
browser.
It's just Chrome.
Safari.
Calm down.
You don't have Safari.
I don't have Safari on here. I have Chrome.
All right, there we go.
Yeah. What was the last thing I looked up on Chrome?
CatholicProfessionals.org.
.org makes sense. Carl Schmitt, his big contribution to political thought was that, like, the sovereign, the person who's in charge, is the one who decides the exception. So his big philosophy was that real power is being able to define who the enemy is. And so he does look like a Nazi there.
That's what I was thinking of. It's when they're in the band episode.
And he's really interesting thinker because he is Catholic and he was a Nazi, but his interpretation of Christ's command to love your enemies is like ridiculous. It's just bad.
Oh no.
Yeah, he's like, Christ says to love your enemies, but like that can't possibly be true because like the Christians didn't love their enemies when they were fighting them in the Crusades. And it's like,
dude, it's so dumb.
I know it is.
It's
really
like
dumb.
A fifth grade. It's like Christ said to love your enemies, except for the people that I hate specifically. Mm-hmm. It's such a convenient philosophy.
He was like, oh, your enemies must be like personal enemies, not enemies of the state.
Oh,
I know. So it's like, it's one of the problems with these illiberal thinkers is that some of them espouse illiberal ideas, but they still defer to illiberal things like the separation of the public and the private, the separation of church and state. It's like, oh, you can have a personal enemy, but that's not the enemy. Like a real enemy is an enemy of the state. And it's, but no, he's influential, and we should know about him because he influences people who are on the right now, who are, you know, they determine, they see the world through friend enemy distinctions, mm-hmm. and power is being able to define who the enemy is. Mm-hmm. And one of like the New Polity critique of that is like, what about friendship? Wouldn't it be better to define a society based on who your friend is, mm-hmm. Rather than who your enemy is? Mm-hmm. That's just a good. So Carl Schmitt, look him up. Well, don't look him up. He might get flagged.
Yeah. The interesting thing about the right, so the super far right wing, they are big on the friend enemy distinction.
Yes.
Like this is not
that's
the
what they're getting it
this
from.
Is not the main. This is not mainstream conservative. Right wing.
Oh, I think it is.
But I disagree because the super far right wing, they are big on like we need to get power so that we can actively like put these people in jail because that's what they're doing to us. Hmm. Like the right understands that the super far right understands that the left knows how to use its power, but I feel like the average, you know, middle right, Ron DeSantis conservatives don't understand that like the left has power and uses it correctly, and they don't understand that the purpose of getting power is to maintain power, and you do that by putting people that disagree with you in jail and deplatforming them and all of these things. So like the super far right, they understand that, so they're advocating for like once Trump's back in power, all these people should go in jail and we should execute them and we should get rid of them, which naturally freaks out the people in the middle because they're like, I just wanted to win the election.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do that. And so
I just wanted to win the big game.
Right.
You know,
and so I think there is like a there's a more of an understanding of power, but it is kind of frightening because it's not a Christian exercise of power per se.
Correct.
I do think people that should go in jail if they're wrong or mean to me, or if they do like a real crime. But it'll be interesting to see if that creeps further towards the center or if it stays contained, because that will probably dictate how successful the right is long term. Because if the right does not figure out how to wield power, then the left will always be in control. So yeah, they kind of need some of the a little bit of Carl, not too much Carl.
Not too much Carl.
Yeah. Because I don't think they understand power at all, because they're still flapping around like fish. Like, they're still like, oh, look at what they're doing to it. Like, nobody's taking the reins. Nobody's taking charge. Mm-hmm. You've got Elon Musk funding your social media platform, and you're not doing anything with it.
Yeah, they spent all that time crying and complaining about how they were deplatformed.
Yes.
And then Elon let them all back on, and they're still on Truth Social.
And they're still whining and complaining.
It's sad.
It's the party of the whiners and the complainers, which is why I'm going on One America News Network.
He actually, well, also the left is definitely also the party of whiners and complainers. But I, anyway, Ethan is going on One America News. That's not a joke. I'm not too.
So here's the news, right? On the left, you've got like the Huffington Post.
Yeah.
You know, and like the crazy left. And then it's like MSNBC and CNN. And then you've got NPR and the Associated Press.
Stop doing this.
Al Jazeera. It's my left hand.
Oh, sure.
And then you kind of move more to the right. So you got Fox News and then
Breitbart,
Drudge Report. And you go a little bit further to the right.
Alex Jones. Even further, you have One America News.
Okay, I don't think it's further than Alex Jones.
No, it's further than Alex Jones.
I think it is.
People mischaracterize Alex Jones. They think he's super far right. He's just like
he's his own thing.
No. He's just a libertarian.
Yes.
Who's stupid.
Yes.
People think that his like libertarianism, because it has conspiracy theories, they think that he's like this crazy.
He's the mirror inverse of Joe Rogan.
Yes. Yes. But Joe Rogan is also now basically a right-wing guy.
He still has some pretty left-wing views on marriage, abortion, those types of things. Mm. So,
I don't know much about Joe Rogan.
I don't like him.
No.
Bald monkey. His thing has a monkey on it. Like the
Does it?
Yeah, the pro podcast art.
Oh,
and it's like anytime there's a clip, it goes the Joe Rogan Experience.
Oh.
He like call, and there's multiple clips of people calling him a monkey and him laughing at it. Like that clip of Bill Burr being like, you could never roller skate because your knuckles would drag on the ground.
I want to hear Bill Burr saying that.
It's pretty funny.
I love the way he delivers jokes.
He's pretty good. Anyway, so I was invited. Here's why I'm defending the One America News Network. Not because I'm super far right wing, but because
They're platforming me.
But there's a guy that runs a show. He's like a Catholic guy. He follows me on Twitter. I follow him. His name's Chris Boyle. Recently, he tweeted this. I wish we were on our, so I could pull it up and you guys could all be shocked together, because I showed this to Emma. And he posted a clip from one of his shows this week, and he was interviewing someone. He was talking to them over video call. And he was like, so just explain to me, like, what's going on? Why are you still in jail? And the camera switched, and it was Joe Exotic.
The Tiger King?
The Tiger King.
The Tiger King.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee. Then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown.
Ooh.
And your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6. All just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.